The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now all tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable: "Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 and in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As Jesus was sitting among tax collectors and sinners, the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And nowadays you would ask, "But what's wrong with that? He was just sitting with people and eating them. What's wrong with that?" But upon close examination, we see the problem. From the standpoint of the Pharisees and scribes, as Jews who are people of the law, they are well learned and they are social class, you know, they got it right because they're learned, they know what they're talking about, and they've studied the law and they studied the scriptures. So we expect them to know, which is unlike the tax collectors who weren't arm in arms with the Roman oppressors. But here is the thing. They were wondered why a spiritual leader would associate with tax collectors and sinners. But this is not really uncommon, even in our modern world, to see how terrible social classes treat each other. I'll give you some examples. In India, there is a class called untouchables. I don't want to go into it to tell you how terrible they treat each other. Basically like subhuman. And I grew up in a country that has got three tribes. So the only comparison I can give you is like this country of the United States have people who have come from all over, some from Ireland, others from Italy, others from France, and others from the islands down south of us. So there's plenty of people, but for us it's only three. To your own eyes, we all look the same, but we know we are very different. But this particular tribe is called the Twa. They are the pygmy. They are not considered untouchable, but they prefer to live separate lives, roaming free in the forests. They were not treated as equals in our society. There's also an article in 2012 in the Washington Post with the title of "Sorry Nerds, Popular Kids Earn More in the Long Run." I don't know how trustworthy that study was, but if this is true, it is evidence that social classes exist even in our schools. Some of you will be popular kids or were popular kids, and others were nerds. So there are social classes everywhere we look at. And the implication here of Jesus loving the attitude, he loved these tax collectors and sinners, has this great implication that tells us that he prefers to be with these outcasts compared to these respectable classes. And Jesus was and is a friend of sinners. And there is a reason behind that, as he explained in the parables. And he was demonstrating to us what our attitude should be when the world mishandles people who are created in his image. So the word the Hebrew defined the word sin is that they call it chata, which means to fail or to miss the mark. We are all plagued with this human condition. We all have this capacity in us to commit iniquity. It is part of our human nature. We have mistreated each other from the very beginning of times and believed we were doing good while doing it. Very recently, I went to the library and got a movie called The Ghosts of Mississippi. You should check it out. It's part of our history here that is still very recent in our memories. And so it happens in all over the world. It's not only here or there. It's everywhere. But here is the thing. Since we have mistreated each other and we have failed to fulfill our purpose on earth that God has given us here, and the thing is, it's still part of the definition of sin to not fulfill our purpose. And since Jesus was the sinless one, and then sitting that day with the tax collectors and sinners, he was, in fact, showing us how to live the kingdom life with faith, hope, and love, bringing back the human dignity for those whose trajectory is headed in the wrong direction. So he was using these parables to show us what divine purpose is like. So the first parable was the lost sheep. So Jesus brings this picture of a shepherd who have left the 99 sheep to go after one that is lost. It is this picture of God whose care for this one lost is as intense as the love and care that he has for all these 99. But you and I know that that's not what we will do, because who in his right mind is going to leave all these 99 and go after one? Most likely you and I would say, goodbye, lost one. I liked you, but sorry, I can't leave these 99. And that's not what our Heavenly Father is like. And Jesus tells us that his love for us knows no bounds, even when we were still sinners. Do you get that? Even when we were still sinners, he longs for us to come back. He longs for us to know his love and his warm love. He wants us to come and experience this that we are going to experience here at Holy Eucharist. He wants all his people he has created to do that, to come to him, because he is their Father. Now you are a Christian believer. You have passed from death to life. You've been forgiven. And Paul tells us that Christ came to save sinners, of whom he himself is the foremost. And what does that tell us? We have been forgiven. Why would we continue to ignore those whose path has led them away from the Father? We should go and sit with them like Jesus did. Today I was with the young people in Sunday school, and we were talking about the unlovable. Who knows the unlovable in their lives? Who knows people who have been jerks? Who knows people who have been perpetrator, idiot, jerks, any other of those words? We do, right? We do know those people. Do we feel like we need to go and sit with them? Is it easy for us to feel like we want to go sit with them? But Jesus definitely is telling us, you need to be there. He was there. And the Pharisees and scribes were like, no. And they really was actually wanting him to do the same. Like, why would you sit and associate with them? And Jesus is like, I created them. I really wish that they would also come and follow me. And Jesus knew exactly that we would ignore that one lost. He knew that. And so, obviously, this issue is very important to God's heart. And the closer we get to be with God, the clearer our sin gets as we discover in our own lives how we have ignored people of other social statuses. The lost, the sinner, the unlovable, the jerks, those idiots, how we have ignored them. And you know what the worst thing is? God was not amused. And his words about the poor in Jeremiah are very sharp and pointed. And I want to kind of be loud about it just to actually convey what it felt like maybe in those days. For my people are foolish. They do not know how to do good. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil. We were supposed to bring God's kingdom on earth. But we have loved ourselves more and more. And we failed to love God and to reach out to our neighbor. We have been blind and indifferent to human need and suffering. And we need to confess this to our God. Let us pray. Forgive us, Lord, because we have grieved your Holy Spirit. We have strayed away and ignored our calling to seek the lost. Grant us true repentance and guide us back into your flock. Teach us, we pray, to value those who are lost the way you value them. Amen.